Was I right? Can he spit more words out in a minute than anybody that you'd ever heard of? There you go. Yes, and actually that is true. You have slowed down a lot. I liked several things that he was saying there, but one of the things that really hit me was that what you're pursuing God for, what you start out pursuing God for, is probably going to change. Because when we start out, truly, most of the time, it's ultimately about me. When we start pursuing God, it's in some form or fashion, we may think it is something to do with other people or whatnot, but ultimately, it still comes back to reflection on me. But the more you spend time in the Father's love, the more you spend time around the Father, then the more you can begin to understand who you are, who your identity is, and the fact that you are okay regardless of whatever else is going on around you. And when you have that solid in your thinking, when you have that solid in there, now then God can move through you to release those things of your ministry. He can move through you to release those things in the business world or whatever it is that you're pursuing Him about. When you begin to understand the love, and the love is your grounding place, that love will begin to make everything else take its proper place in your life. What I was wanting to share, and I think what I'll share is from Numbers 14. I'm sorry, Numbers 13. Because see, what he was talking about was going to the throne of grace to take the veils off. Because in our journey with God, He's going to reveal certain things to us. He's going to begin to uncover certain things in our life. Because truthfully, you know, the reality is He loves us just the way we are, but He also loves us enough not to keep us there. So He's going to continually do things that will cause you to have the opportunity to mature in Him. And that means that sometimes there are certain veils that are going to come off of our life. There are certain things that are going to have to be addressed for us to have that possibility. For you to go over to the other side, to actually cross over, like as we've been speaking about the Israelites coming and crossing over to Jordan into the promised land after 40 years. To cross over, there are some certain things that have to happen. In the crossing over, then there's going to be a revealing of what was already previously deceiving. Okay? So here, look at me. Look with me at verse 32 of chapter 13 on Numbers. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the men of whom we saw it are men of great size. And there also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak. They're part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." Now I ask you, how did they know what they were like in the sight of the Nephilim? No, this okay, so they sent the spies in. So the spies are going, "Oh, Mr. Nephilim, how do you see us?"
"As grasshoppers."
I don't think that's exactly what happened here. Why? Because when they were in there, they were looking, they were on, but I don't think that they came too close to the Nephilim. I think they were afraid. But they just began to assume. But what actually happened is they began to listen to the voice of the accuser. Then they began to, because see, it says, as we were in our sight, so we are in their sight. It's how you determine what you're going to see. It's how you determine what you're going to do with something that you do see. Those are the things, because see, what happened when the Lord sent them over, what did He tell them? Back up with me. Verse 2. "That they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give the sons of Israel." They had their promise. They had the promise right there. It was given to them moments before they left on their little journey to go spy out the land. And yet, they chose, rather than to believe the promise, to believe what the voice of the accuser was telling them. You're not good enough. You're not significant enough. You're not fast enough. You're not strong enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not, sorry, Tony. You're not whatever. Smart enough. Mostly since the Nephilim were apparently very, very huge. Why? You're not big enough. You're not equipped enough. How many of us have listened to that voice? I'm going to assume it's all of us. The rest of the ones who didn't raise your hand will have a little line here in a moment. You can repent. Because here's the deal. Because if what we're going to do is listen to the voice, what we're going to see and perceive as truth is the lie of the enemy. See, when we begin to, and what we actually do in that situation, I mean, I'll put it in its most simple term, we actually take the lie of the enemy and make it more valuable than the promise of God. I know, it's convicting. It's good cop and bad cop tonight, so you know which one I am now, right? Justin got to be all lovey-dovey with you, and now I'm going to just... But here's the deal. What was the actual truth? They were already equipped to overcome. They were already equipped. It had already been ordained. God had said, I am with you in this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to accomplish it for you. Remember what Justin said about the rest? That's the purpose of coming into the rest, so that we're not trying to make it all happen in our own strength. My own strength is kind of limited, but when I begin to count on God, when I begin to let God be with me, when I begin to expect Him to be going before me, now things change. That's why we enter into the rest. Because that way, we're taking off that load of trying to do it all in our own strength. It doesn't mean that we don't have things to do. It doesn't mean you're just going to be a couch potato. You're not going to be a couch potato. You're just laboring now with Him instead of kind of sometimes against Him. And you're no longer in fear because it's no longer me having all the responsibility. Go to Joshua 2. Because we can see when they crossed over, when they began to actually coming into the promised land here, we see that all of a sudden, the veil was taken off. The thing that the enemy, the voice of the accuser had been speaking into their ears, now was revealed for the lie that it was. Let's go down to verse 9 of Joshua 2. And said to the men, this is our dear lady here, and she was hiding the spies that had come in just to check out Rahab. She was chiding the spies, and she said, verse 9, and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us. And all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. This was what was waiting on them for 40 years. Say 40 years. For 40 years, the promise of God, the position of God had already been made manifest in their heart. At the same time that they were believing that they were grasshoppers in the sight of the enemy, for we, verse 10, have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, which they did right off the bat. You utterly destroyed. We heard it, our hearts melted. And no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven, above and on the earth. The Lord your God is God in heaven, above and on the earth. And that's the certainty that they had available to them. But now recognize that when they came into this truth and they heard this for the first time, I would imagine it was a little perplexing and probably kind of shocking, because a whole generation passed away not understanding the truth that was given to them. A whole generation didn't inherit what was freely given because they were believing the voice of the accuser. It doesn't matter what the voice of the accuser is speaking. If he's speaking, it's a lie. When you have unworthiness coming upon your heart, when you have condemnation or guilt and all those kind of things happening, those are all part of the voice of the accuser interacting in our life. And we need to learn how just to say, Lord, what is your promise? Rather than responding to the voice, we listen for the promise. What is your promise? Sometimes all we have to do is search our heart for a moment and go, oh yeah, wait a second. The Lord always said, I got this. I got this. Because he already told you what the promise was. He already told you where you were going. If he hasn't told you where you're going, then simply tune your ear to hear. Begin to let him begin to address that area so that you're not responding to that voice of the accusation. You're responding in the heart of God. This is the nature of faith. And see, there's a difference between faith and denial. Sometimes we just try to pretend that, you know, whatever was coming against us didn't come in there, and it's not there, and it's not there, it's not there, it's not there. I rebuke you, it's not there, I rebuke you, it's not there. I rebuke you, it's not there. Denial is not faith. Denial keeps you focused on the problem. Faith will keep you focused on the solution. That's what we're looking into. Denial will keep you focused on the problem. You didn't think I could do that. And faith will keep you focused on the solution. Okay. I figured, because sometimes I'm saying things and I'm saying them, and it's like, okay, I'm hearing them when you're hearing them, okay? I'm just saying what I hear and release them. That one I actually already had in there, so I could repeat it. What God is doing, what he's doing, and what he's waking us up to see, we are at a threshold. We are standing ready to enter into our promises. It is a time when he's going to take veils off, when he's going to begin to reveal his truth for our lives. He's going to reveal his truth for our destiny. He's going to reveal his truth about what he's already declared, what he's already decreed. And he's going to begin to take off every deception, every bit of darkness, every bit of accusation that the enemy has been trying to hurl at us. And I can tell you what, I mean, you know, when you're sitting there and you're trying to pray, and you're trying to pray, and I'm trying to pray, and I'm trying to pray. Oh, the trash is going to go out. No, there's no trash can. There's no trash can. It doesn't matter whatever it is, the accusation sometimes of the enemy can be simple. You're just not holy like the rest of them. It's just something about you. because what's happening here is as soon as we just get a little bit tweaked, then we start focusing on that. A lot of this is learning how, the process is learning how to just inhabit the Word, let the Word inhabit you. You inhabit the Word as the Word inhabits you. You begin to just hold on to the Word and let the Word begin to paint that picture within yourself. And as I got to explain to somebody this week, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Because when you enjoy the journey, now it's no longer about, I got to get here. I got to get to the Father's love. I got to get to the Father's love. I can't just get to the Father's love. When we just allow him to love on us, we get to the love. When we enjoy, Lord, whatever's happening today, Lord, I just want to be with you, however that looks like for you. Because when we can do that, when we take that approach, that takes the stress off of it. That takes, in other words, now we're entering into a place of rest. I want to ask you, how many, when you were in grade school, how many of you got, when you came into class, you told the teacher what you were going to do that day? Anybody? Okay, we'll give you an exception, all right? You get a hall pass. All the way down to report yourself to the principal. But here's the deal. You didn't get to tell. When we come into the nature and the holiness of God, Why do we think that we should be telling him what we're going to be doing? We should actually just be in here to enjoy you, to be with you, to engage with you. And as we're engaging with you, you'll instruct us of what we're doing now and what we're doing next. Because you know more perfectly, Holy Spirit knows more perfectly every issue in your heart. He knows more perfectly what is going on right now. And he knows, I can tell you, he knows how to get you where you're going. When I can remember, it's been quite a few years ago now, there was a season in my life for about 18 months, the Lord just, I would sit down, I would get up in the morning before everybody else got up, and I would sit on my couch, and I would have my notebook, and I would just write. Sometimes it's kind of like sometimes when I'm talking, I would just write. I would just write whatever he told me. And so I didn't try to filter it, because if you try to filter it, it stops the flow. I didn't try to justify it. Whatever it was, I just wrote it. And as I wrote it, then I began to see that there was a pattern. And most of what he was writing was telling me about my own value, my worth. He was showing me his love. He signed off. I would always know he was done because he would start saying, "I love you." We would close that session with that. And sometimes it was 5 minutes, sometimes it was half an hour. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter to me. I enjoyed the journey. I enjoyed the process. I enjoyed just the presence of his Spirit as we were doing these things. But the thing that I learned out of that was I began to get nervous because I go, "Okay, God, is this wrong? Every day we're talking about me." But again, I began to understand that there was just a lot about me that needed to be fixed. Also, gets giggling over there. There was a lot more about me that needed to be fixed than I had any clue about. Amen. But at the same time, it was a process that began to affirm in me who he was calling me to be. Which at that moment, people had spoken words over me. But there's a difference between somebody speaking a word over you and you stepping into it. You being part of that. Okay? So if you're at the stage where somebody's speaking words over you and you go, I'm not really lining up with that yet, know that he's painting a picture before you to draw you in. He's painting a picture before you. He's showing you what he sees. And the Lord sees with a perfect vision. None of us see with a perfect vision. But the more we come into alignment with him, the more we come into his presence, the more he adjusts our own individual vision for who we are. We're no longer subject. When we begin to understand who we are, that makes you a whole lot less subject to the voice of the accuser. Now when condemnation comes, I'm no longer coming into agreement with it by default. I grew up in a household where negativity was the rule of the day, every day. The words that were spoken were not affirming. But see, God can rewrite all that. He can rewrite all that. You don't have to stay there. Now all those things that used to be so normal are just foreign. They're foreign. The things that I can see, I can remember sometimes, I remember how I used to think about things, and it's like it was somebody else's life instead of my own. It's not that I forget it, it's just that it no longer has the ownership of me. Why? Because he's filling those places with his understanding and his truth for my life. That removes from you the dangers of the accuser because I no longer have to fall for those things. Okay, and what have we already told you about self-condemnation? I know my first servicers have got this. Self-condemnation is just simply agreement with the enemy. It's pure and simple. It's self-sabotage. Because when you're condemning yourself, it doesn't matter whether you did right or wrong. What matters is that when you're condemning yourself, you're not standing with what God's already said. so we don't need to sabotage ourselves anymore. We can take that veil off. We can take that veil off. When we no longer have those things going on in our life, it allows us to stand in the fullness of His love. Hebrews 10, real quick, Hebrews 10, 22. I said it yesterday, I'm going to say it again today. But Hebrews 10, 22 says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart, a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." In other words, having our hearts sprinkled clean, that word from an evil conscience, and how many just know that you don't have an evil conscience? I mean, I really actually rarely meet somebody who actually does have a clear conscience. It is possible. It should be the norm of our Christian experience. It is the norm of our Christian experience because it's already been bought and paid for. It's already been purchased by the blood. The blood came and cleansed that conscience. And you'll remember when you first got saved, I can remember like, oh my gosh, all this is all gone. I can't do that, but my throat doesn't do that. I can let Sharon do it here. Hallelujah. Because basically everything, the grass looked greener, the sky looked bluer. I mean, everything was bigger. All of a sudden, it was all just beautiful. Everybody was wonderful. I didn't meet anybody I didn't love. Well, how long? I don't remember because it was a while. But it wasn't forever. But see, the reality is He's caused us to live and He's paid for us to live with a free conscience. Always. Meaning, we can step into His presence at any time. Because He's already covered it for you. It was already purchased. The only thing separating you from God is you. You see, when he said that here, the word evil means labors, annoyances, and hardships, what I call the earth curse system. Pastor LaRue has explained that really, really well. What we're talking about there is earth curse, all the things that we get involved in, all the things that begin to steal our time and steal our thought and take away from the presence of God in our life. But that word also means degenerate. Degenerate. In other words, what is less than the original that it was supposed to be? Something that has fallen away from the place that it was supposed to be. And that's what happened at the fall. There was a degeneration of the relationship because the fall came to interrupt our relationship with God. And ever since, we've stayed in that place rather than recognizing He bought and purchased freedom. Purchased freedom. And it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter the thought you had a little while ago. Doesn't matter whatever it is that was happening, whatever you did last year or how you disappointed somebody or anything else. Or what matters is that if you'll bring it to Him, He's not going to reject you. If you'll bring it to Him, He will bring you in. And as He brings you in, the process of bringing you in will begin to love that thing out of you, whatever it might have been. It will begin to unveil what needs to be unveiled and to install what needs to be installed. And then your wish list changes. Now, I'm okay with a big ministry, but I'm okay if you give me two. I'm okay if you give me one. Because, Lord, my job, my only job, is to please the one. When I'm pleasing the one, everything else this comes along with. If I'm pleasing to the one, and that's my goal, everything else that happens is just a reflection of Him moving in my life for myself or for anybody else. I was like Justin. There was a period of time where I thought, that I could do this ministry, but I didn't realize I was really looking for fulfillment for myself. And I'm not saying doing ministry is wrong. Hello. But what I'm saying is the motivation of your heart is everything. The motivation of your heart. And then it releases you from the burden of it when your motivation is clear. When your motivation is perfected before Him, He can deal. He'll take you with whatever else needs to be dealt with. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's just an atmosphere of expectancy. And so, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for filling each and every heart. Each and every heart, Father, out of this place of Your love. I thank You, Lord, that each and every one of us, Father, You've already provided for us to come to You completely clean, without shame, without condemnation, without guilt or oppression. You've already paid for it. So, Lord, we choose to receive it. We choose to receive what You've already given. We choose to walk in what You've already declared. And we thank You, Lord, that You've caused us and called us to enjoy the journey. So we purpose to enjoy the journey. Because, Lord, as we enjoy the journey, it'll cause us to go deeper with You. Amen. 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 You have something, Zach? Okay. And then Michael has a little vision, too. I think that he was along the same line.
I was just going to share that the theme of God this evening has been your identity in Christ. And I just wanted to share what was bubbling in my heart was one of the biggest keys or tools that I've learned or have matured into is if you see yourself, how many can see yourself, especially in your journey with God, when your spirit man gets sensitive, you start seeing things for what they are. And if you see yourself, there's a lot of flaw. So the biggest key that has helped me, and I believe everyone in here, God is training and is taking us in that direction, is the key over all this message tonight is you need to see yourself the way He sees you. That has been the biggest key for me is immediately, and by the way, the way you see yourself the way He sees you is you have to see through His Word. You have to know truth. That's why we always point you to the Word, because you need to see through the Word. That's how you're going to see how He sees you. You're going to see His ways. You're going to see who He is. You begin to experience and know Him through His Word. You could even spend a lot of time in prayer, but you still need His Word. You can't bypass. It's a balance. That's why He said, abide in Me and let My Word abide in you. It's two things. And the more you see yourself the way He sees you, and you continue to fill your heart with what he says about you, every promise that He says about you, then maturity comes to a point where, like now, the Word has had its way in my heart, and I don't have to. In the past, I actually used to, like if I was at work, I used to have to go into a bathroom, and I used to have to speak over myself until I got back in of whatever pushed me out. And now, because of the truth that's in me, as soon as anything that doesn't line up with what He spoke about me, I know it's not of God, and I just focus on Him as a relationship, as Him, as I'm dwelling in His presence, and immediately as the truth that's in me and I focus in Him, it shifts me right out. And I'm amazed, just like Pastor said, the things that used to affect me don't affect me anymore. And it's all lies. Anything that doesn't line up with what God has spoken over you, it's a lie. And you'll experience that freedom that comes with it. You'll experience God's presence, because the more you die, the more you dwell in His truth is dwelling in God. And the reality of His presence, everything, you begin to experience God because you're dwelling in truth. So what I wanted to emphasize tonight is when you read the scriptures, you want to see yourself the way He sees you. Anytime that anything that comes into your life or you start seeing your faults, shift your thoughts to how do You see Me? And trust me, you're going to start experiencing the truth of God's Word. So that's my encouragement, is see yourself the way God sees you.
Skidmore. I remember the first time that I ever said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I was literally hiding behind my desk because I thought, this might be a problem. I see it here in the Word, but I don't know. Because I felt like anything but righteous. But see, that's why we're not to go by our feeling. We're to go by what the truth in the Word says. And when I begin to see that, when I begin to respond to that, now then as I'm beginning to hold that in my heart, then that takes up the space and it pushes the other unworthiness things out. The more I hold the truth in, when is truth truth? Always. As long as we'll believe it. When is God with you? Always. They will always have their perfect work in us when we will allow it to happen. You had a vision? Yes.
Over the last several weeks, I've been in the tree, and he just took me to the top. It's like up, it's miles up. It's just done. But it was in, I was in a small container. It seemed like, I don't know, how do you describe it? But he's had me laying flat down, and I did not have permission to stand. And recently, he finally told me, I'm not going to let you stand until you cease to speak unless you hear me speak. We ought to cut a lot of vocabulary out. Wit is still on the table. Until you realize that you can do nothing and I do everything. Until I can operate through you as a clean vessel and there's no pride in your heart about being used. Until there's no I message coming from your lips. And in every interaction, you replace I with Father. That's the background. And then this morning, just at wake-up time, the Father had me in heaven. I saw a being of glory sitting on the other side of a table in front of the throne and wearing a crown. I don't know if it was what gender, I just say he. I remember the crown was vividly, very visible, and he was shimmering and giving out unfathomable gifts across the table to others wearing crowns. The angelic being was in the heavenly jurisdiction, releasing overwhelmingly valuable provision to those of us in this jurisdiction. Our purpose is to be ready and waiting in front of the table. So we're ready to be called forth to receive. And that's kind of like we're standing at the edge of the Jordan and going over the Jordan and standing in front of the door. Right? Our purpose is to hold back where the Father wants us to hold back and pour out only where he wants to pour it out. Anything else is your personal work and not the Father's work. Anything else is your doing your own will in Father's name. Our purpose is to speak only what he wants us to say.
Amen. Amen. There is a truth that if you want to be heard more, speak less. If you want to be heard more, speak less. And I'm telling you that as a person who always had to have the last word. I always had to have the last word. It didn't matter what we were doing. But all that was simply so that I could feel like I was being heard. I was compensating. When you learn how to speak less, you'll be heard more. Amen. Amen. God bless you. It's been awesome. Hallelujah. We look forward to Sunday. I'm looking forward. Just have an expectation. Just pray. The outflow and the outpouring that was going on Sunday, I believe that it's setting a stage. I believe with what LaRue is processing as far as praying through, I think there's a whole lot of momentum moving us into Sunday. So pray this week for what God can do in our lives as we come together in fellowship, but also pray for what he's doing in our lives right now. Amen? All right. God bless you.